Continuing in the theme of worship as we think about Christmas, and we're going to be looking at Zechariah's worship song, and some translations say Zechariah's prophecy. And today I'm going to be looking at the role of worship in prophecy and how worship is prophetic every time. And so we're going to be looking at that, and we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 79. And I've never really studied this man, Zechariah, but he is amazing, and he's a man really for our time as well. So Zechariah chapter 1, if you haven't got your Bibles, Chris has printed it on the newsletter for you. How good is that? Love that. That's a great idea. Praise be to the Lord. So it says in verse 67, his father, John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a clue. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied. Praise be, he says, to the Lord, or blessed is the Benedictus, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation. That means a strong salvation. He has raised up a strong salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said, through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, that relationship that we have with him, the oath he swore to our father Abraham to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, Elohim, Jesus. For you will go on before Jesus to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Amen. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun, in some translations it says day spring, that's Jesus again, by which Jesus will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And I wanted us to sing that new song, because within there I think there's a line about the shadow and the light shining in the shadow. We'll sing it again, if that's okay, Emma, in a few minutes' time. But I just love that. And how much do we need that at the moment? I don't know if you're looking at the news. But we're living in similar times, the times of Zechariah. And the UK census of, you know, this kind of 46.2%, less than 50% of the UK consider themselves now, tick that box to say, I am Christian. And that's been a decline since 2011. And for me, that's not a reflection on the church. It's not a reflection on Christianity. It's a reflection on the state of the spiritual life of our country. It's a call. It's a need. Because in January 2022, there was further research globally, and actually Christianity is on the rise globally. 1.46% growth in Christianity around the world. And because we live in Europe, we kind of think, oh, it's all crumbling. Well, it kind of is in Europe. It's on the decline in Europe and North America, where there used to be the highest concentration of Christians. But in African nations and in Asian nations, yeah, come on, it's growing. Amen. It's growing. Around the world, the gospel is growing and it is gaining a foothold. How exciting is that? And another interesting statistic is that atheism is on the decline around the world. And that is quite interesting as well. What's interesting is that the number of Bibles being printed is on the increase. There's 1.56 billion Bibles in circulation in the world at the moment. And so sometimes you can look at the news and think, oh no, it's like really awful. But do you know what? It can be the spin that's put on it. And right now there is a need for us to realize that God is on the move. And he needs to move in Ormskirk. He needs to move in Skelmersdale. He needs to move through us. And the key is worship. And the key to it all is worship. Adrian quoted last week, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. This is the cry for our nation. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. and Christ will shine on you. So we're going to do that together right now. Are you ready? After three. One, two, three. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So what we're going to do right now is reach out our hand to the UK. We're going to reach out our hand to all this country that is apparently subject to these statistics, and we're going to make them subject to heaven, and we're going to say to the UK, one, two, three, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Do you know what? It's exciting, isn't it, when God begins to move in a nation, and we begin to see revival, but it begins in worship. And at the time of Zechariah, Israel was oppressed, as Tom said last week. Israel was in a place of where there had been religious uprisings that had been put down. It had been years since the prophets had spoken. There was darkness in that land at that time. There was hopelessness. It was just tradition. It was just routine. It was just dead religion. Lord, take that number down to 10% until a remnant remains that believes. And from that, Lord God, build it up. Shake the church. What I loved about Tom's talk last week, so many really great things in that. Have a listen to it. But one of the things he said was about Mary. And about Mary saw in her song, her Magnificat, she saw beyond the here and now to the greater power of Elohim. The mighty power of Elohim. And one of the key things, and Andrew touched on this a while ago, one of the key things about worship is this: it reveals truth. That's why worship is always prophetic, because it reveals God, it reveals God's heart, it reveals the truth of heaven into the world, and it realigns us to his heart and to his presence and to who he is. Because in our world and in our lives and in our overwhelmingness of everything that's going on and in reading the news, as Dave said the other week, you know, I sometimes just turn the news off because it gets a bit depressing sometimes. And in all of that, we find, without helping it, we find our minds and our hearts and everything becomes realigned to a worldview which is not God's worldview. And so we need to worship, because worship gives us that realignment to what that vision should be of us. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. John says this. Actually, it's one of the angels says this, because the angel comes with a message to John, and John's overwhelmed that he wants to bow down and worship the angel. And the angel says, whoa, hang on, no, don't worship me. Revelation 19, 10, he says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And what he's saying there is that at the heart of everything we do is Jesus. The spirit of prophecy is Jesus. And if it doesn't point to Jesus, it's pointing to nothing, or it's pointing to the worse than nothing. It's got to point to Jesus. Our lives, our worship, and everything. And worship points us to Jesus. And so if we're going through a tough time, I'll talk about this in a minute, worship is the key. Worship, right, get ready. Worship precedes our knowledge of God. Worship comes before our knowledge of God, because without worship, there is no knowledge of God. When I first came up to Ormskirk, and some of you remember Pat Oldfield, who's been to be with the Lord now, and she gave me some verses from Isaiah 55, and I came to university because I'm really clever and all that kind of thing. You know, we think we're really clever, don't we, sometimes? And Isaiah 55 says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And I needed to hear that, and that stuck with me for 30-odd years. And I know it's a famous verse. Without worship, there is no knowledge of God or anything. When we worship, we move into a deeper knowledge and understanding of him. I would dare to say that unless we worship, we don't really know God. I would suggest to you that if you want to know God, you need to first of all worship. And sadly, at the moment, there's so many people say there's no God, therefore I'm not going to worship. But if they were to worship, they would discover that there is a God. Because worship realigns our lives and our hearts to him on the parameters that he sets, not on the parameters that we set. Not according to our criteria, because we mistake God for Father Christmas sometimes. And we think, unless Father Christmas is given, because I've been on the nice list, Unless Father Christmas gives me what I want, then I'm not going to believe in him anymore. And what's the difference between that and what some people think and believe about God? And so for me, we need to get rid of the Father Christmas myth of God. And let's begin to see that when we worship God, not because we've assessed him just before we come through these doors, say, am I going to worship you? Are you worthy of my worship this week? Yes, you are. Okay, off I go. But we come through those doors no matter what and worship him. Zechariah sounds fantastic. You know, as we read these verses that we read before, he sounds like a man of faith and power for the hour. He says, yeah, redeem, forgive, horn of salvation. But it was only a few verses before that he was doubting. Only a few verses before that he was in the temple and he's not like Clarence from Wonderful Life. It's like Angel Gabriel is not like this tiny little fellow walking in. Now, the way I imagine angels, and I'm sure this must be in the Bible, they're huge. I mean, angels. I've kind of experienced worship where I believe that there were angels there in that room and you just had to bow down. We did, didn't we? Just bow down. And you couldn't help it. It was like something was forcing us down. Myself and Adrienne in this room. And it was like, and the person in the room is saying, the angels are entering in right now. And you know how tall this room is? It was kind of like, for me, it was bigger than this. It was like the angel Gabriel who appeared and brought revelation to Daniel in Daniel 9 and prophesied the coming of the Messiah. The angel Gabriel, who is, we think, is going to blow that final trumpet in Revelation. Angel Gabriel, which means the mighty one of God, a mighty warrior, appears to Zechariah and says, Zechariah, your wife is going to have a baby. And Zechariah says, oh, we're a bit old. and he doubts. And I can understand why. His experience had clouded his perspective. 46.9% had clouded his perspective. That thing that's not gone right at work had clouded his perspective. The tradition and the routine and the heartache and the heartbreak of wanting children over years and years and years and wanting life to turn out a certain way and it hadn't, and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed, had clouded his perspective so that when the angel Gabriel himself came from the right hand of God the Father down and said, you're going to have a baby, he said, oh, I'm not sure. And we can laugh at him and we can think, well, that is awful, isn't it? But we do the same thing, don't we? I do, constantly. I read the scriptures and I'm in a place of worship and I know and I trust and I believe in God. Zechariah wasn't saying I don't believe in God. He's just saying I don't believe in that bit. He couldn't hear the message of heaven, so he spoke doubt. And so the angel closed his ears and closed his mouth, made him deaf and made him dumb and left just his eyes so that he could see the fulfillment of God's promises. He gave to Zechariah vision and vision alone so that he could see and no longer doubt the movement of God in his life. We all, let's be honest, doubt at times. We all struggle with aspects of our faith at times. I'm not saying we lose faith because that's a different thing, but we all, so from time to time, me included, struggle, don't we? You know, I know we're a charismatic church and we're like into, and that's right, you know, it's good to have power for the hour and that's really important because you need that to get over those sometimes. But let's be honest, sometimes we struggle with our faith like Zechariah did. And those questions that we have are questions which are real. It's about real life. I don't want a faith that I've heard from somebody else, and sometimes that's what we rely on. We rely on the A.W. Tozers or my mate down there who's a Christian and convinced me to become a Christian because he's a great mate. And then our faith is just built on him being a great person rather than my own personal revelation of Jesus himself. We need our own personal revelation. And sometimes that means going to the wilderness and the desert place so it becomes real for us. Why am I going through this tough time, God? God says, because I want you to know me more, know me better. Worship in the hardest of times realigns our vision to him, realigns us to a deeper faith and a deeper knowledge of him. When we're going through a tough time, the hardest thing to do and the most important thing to do is to worship God. You know, when I'm up here with me waving my flag around, wasn't it great that Mason was waving the flag with me this morning? Oh, I did me good that. But it was just great to wave that flag this morning. And sometimes people might think, oh, there's Mike, he's jumping up and down and waving his flag again and singing loud. Everything must be right in the world for him. Everything's fantastic for Mike. There he is, or Dave, or Adrian, or anybody else. Look at him jumping up and down. He's praising God. Sometimes, in those moments, those are my lowest moments. Sometimes when I'm singing loudest, it's because I need to break through. Sometimes when you see somebody worshiping, don't assume that everything's right with them and everything's wrong with you. Just get into worship. Just join them. Because maybe they're pressing through and maybe they're breaking through. Maybe they're saying, God, break into this situation because I can't do it. Less of me, Lord. More of you. What I am doing when I'm waving those flags is that I am realigning myself prophetically. It's a prophetic act to say, at the moment, we may be struggling, but there is a beyond the here and now. And here and now God breaks in, and he does. There's a poet called T.S. Eliot in a poem called Four Quartets. He says this, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. The end of all our exploring, our searching, our seeking, our desperation, the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. And it reminds me of those verses which says, you've forsaken your first love, get back to it. Get back to that first place. You know, when you gave your life to Jesus, when you first got onto your knees in your bedroom and you said, thank you, Lord God, for what you've done. When there was that excitement about when you fell in love with Jesus. And I remember being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I've said this before, just going hugging trees and all. And it was all of a sudden, everything was amazing. It was like that bit in, I watched Wonderful Life yesterday. I know Andrew's favorite film of all time. Wonderful Life, you know, when that transformation, and he suddenly realizes that actually he's restored again, and everything's wonderful, and the creaky old house and the smelly house that he lived in suddenly is the most wonderful thing in the world, and his wife is the most wonderful person in the world, etc. And, you know, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you get the perspective of heaven, suddenly joy comes. Something powerful happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And so Zechariah, just before he sings this amazing song of prophecy and worship, it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that happened when he broke with tradition. He was deaf and he was dumb, and his son was born. And Elizabeth said, he's going to be called John. And the people, the crowd said, what? You can't be called John because your name's Zechariah. There's nobody called John in your family. It needs to be Zechariah. And they went to Zechariah. And they said, what should he be called? And John and Zechariah wrote down his name was John. And then all of a sudden, when Zechariah aligned himself with heaven, aligned himself with the message of the angel Gabriel, when he said, it's John, because that's what the angel told us, then his ears were unblocked. And his mouth, it says his tongue was loosed. And what did he do? He praised God. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he praised God. And what was his praise? I'm going to finish with this. What was his praise? As we look through his praise song, we see that it's this. God redeems. God brings strong salvation. God brings mercy. God remembers covenant. Relationship, love. God rescues from fear. God brings forgiveness. God guides us into peace. I'm just going to pray. Almighty God, as we step into worship, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that it would rise up in a mighty way today, Lord Jesus, that it would overcome our fears, our cynicism, our doubts, that it would overcome our criticism, our negativity, that it would overcome the statistics and what's around us, that it would overcome our experience that lies to us and the enemy that wants to undermine us. I pray, Lord God, that you would fill us with your Spirit again this morning. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. May we be people who worship nonstop, no matter what. Because you are the God who redeems. You are the God who brings salvation. You are the God who brings mercy. You are the God who brings and renews and restores covenant. Lord, do it again. Lord, you're the God who rescues us from fear. You're the God who brings forgiveness. You're the God who guides us into peace. Lord, do it again. Lord, move in our nation. Move in our country. Move in this world, Lord God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that there would be many who come to know you over these next few months. Lord, as we enter into this time of Christmas, as we think about you, the light of the world that shines in the shadows and in the darkness, Holy Spirit, move again in a powerful way in our lives. We ask for your forgiveness where we have forgotten to worship. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord Jesus, just for ourselves, but also on behalf of every person in OCF. Lord, that you would restore to your pastures, Lord God, those that have drifted away, those in our families that have drifted away, those in our neighborhoods and our communities that have drifted away. We pray, Lord God, right now, we believe that you will draw them back again. Lord, draw them back again. I want to pray, Lord Jesus, that next time there's a census, that there will be an increase, Lord, of those who truly believe, not just tick the box because it's there to be ticked, not just tick the box because they feel they're meant to, but tick the box because they mean it, that they have found you, Lord Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, move in your church. Wake us up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. May Christ shine on you. Amen.